Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Geox Group Fiscal Year 2011 Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. The call is chaired by Geox Chairman and Founder, Mr. Mario Moretti Polegato, the CEO, Mr. Diego Bolzonello, the Corporate Managing Director, Massimo Stefanello, and the CFO, Mr. Livio Libralesso. Please go ahead.
Mario Moretti Polegato speaking. Good morning to everybody, and thank you to attending this conference call. As usual here with me, there are Diego Bolzonello, CEO, Massimo Stefanello, Corporate Director, and Livio Libralesso, CFO. Massimo and Livio will start giving you a brief overview of Geox results. Diego will then give you a final comment before your question.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and good afternoon. This is Massimo Stefanello speaking. Let me shortly highlight the key facts of the Geox Group full year 2011 results, which are in line with the market expectation. In fact, despite the rapid worsening in the second half of the consumer environment in our major markets, we deliver and slightly exceed the guidance provided at the beginning of the year, both in terms of sales and profitability. Sales reach 887 million euro, up 5%. Like-for-like of the directly operated stores up 2%, with an outstanding performance of our flagship stores, which were up 6%. EBITDA margin was equal to 13.7% on sales at 122 million, a bit better than expected, thanks to the 100 basis point EBITDA margin improvement in the second half. EBIT was euro 82.5 million or 9.3% on sales. Net income was 15 million euro, 5.7% on sales. Solid net cash position of 91 million euro. During 2011, we added 101 monobrand stores as announced. Spring/summer 2012 order backlog of wholesale and franchising channel, excluding DOS, is substantially in line compared with spring/summer 2011. The 2011 results and our robust cash position allow us to propose a dividend of euro 0.16 per share, equal to 83% payout. Please turn on page two, sales by product, where you may appreciate that both categories are up. Footwear up 3% and apparel 12%. On page three, sales by region. Italy, Europe, North America are up low single digit. In the rest of the world, which is up 15%, we have an outstanding result of the emerging markets, with China and Hong Kong up 25%, Eastern Europe up 32%, and Russia up 66%. On page four, we have the sales by channel. Wholesale is declining 2% due to a mid-single digit decline in the first half, while our trend improved during the second half with wholesale up 2%. Franchising is up 24%. This is mainly due to the increase of the number of doors, with 89 net openings compared with 2010, and the low single-digit organic growth. In second half, wholesale and franchising, or what we call third parties, are growing 8.1%, in line with autumn/winter 2011 backlog. DOS channel is growing 5.5% or 10.5 million euro. The said result can be split as follows: space effect of approximately 8.8 million euro, like-for-like performance positive for 2% equal to 1.7 million euro. During the Q4, the like-for-like has been substantially flat in all regions, including Italy and AU, despite a tough comparison basis. 4Q 2010 was in fact up 12%. And as I said, a challenging environment indeed. On page 5, we have the chart with our monobrand network. As planned, we added 101 doors during 2011, then DOS, 89 franchising, and 2 under license. Despite the economic cycle, the company is continuing to pursue its strategic plan to add monobrand location to the benefit of brand awareness, increase of product portfolio, and the evolution of market structure. I confirm the target of additional 100 net openings in 2012. The countries where we will concentrate the activity are Italy, with almost 40% of the total, 20 doors in Europe, France, Benelux, Spain, Portugal, and UK, 20 doors in Eastern Europe, Russia, Ukraine, Hungary, and Poland, 10 in Asia, with the first group of DOS in China and further DOS in Hong Kong, 10 in Middle East and Africa. With the beginning of 2012, we have started to deliver the order backlog of Spring-Summer 12, and we have shipped around 60% of it. I confirm that the base portion is substantially in line with Spring-Summer 11, with a gross margin recovery of 200 basis points. The final outcome, as it will be reflected in H1 sales, will depend on the results of the reorder campaign and the NOS, never out of stock products, ultimately by the consumer demand for this current season, or what we call sell-out. Thanks for your attention. Now I hand over to GIOX CFO Livio Libralesso for the financials.
Good morning and good afternoon to everybody. Let's go now to page 7 to comment full year 2011 income statement. Consolidated sales reached 887 million, up 4.4% on last year, as already commented. Gross profit was equal to 409 million, 46.1% on sales, compared with 48.8% of last year, a dilution of 270 basis points. This dilution in gross margin reflects the negative impact suffered in first half, when the decrease was 480 basis points, due to the negative exchange rate impact and to the support granted to the commercial networks in terms of higher marginality. On the contrary, in the second half, we have been able to offset those negative factors thanks to a better product mix, channels mix, selected increase in prices, and cost reduction. Second half gross margin was, in fact, substantially in line with the same period of 2010. And in the Q4, despite the weak consumer environment, gross margin increased 100 basis points as expected. Selling and distribution was 45.6 million, and we have slightly improved the percentage on sales from 5.3 to 5.1. This improvement is mainly due to lower delivery expenses per unit and to a reduction in the credit management costs. G&A were 235 million, 26.5% on sales compared to 27 of last year. There is a slightly positive operating leverage, and if we look at the main components, the increase of 5.7 million is explained by the operating cost of the new DOS that we opened in the last 12 months, and by the investment made in key people and overhead in the marketing and product department, and in the emerging markets like Hong Kong and China. All the other core G&A expenses plus depreciation and amortization were in line with last year, and we keep maintaining a strict control. Advertising and promotion was 46 million, broadly in line with last year and with 5% on sales, that is the current guidance. EBIT declined by 170 basis point, improving a little bit the dilution deriving from the gross margin. As said, it was 270, and consequently, the positive operating leverage equals to 100 basis points. Income taxes were 28 million, with a tax rate at 35.8% and in line with last year, slightly better than the guidance. Net result, 50 million, 5.7% on sales, compared with 58 million of last year. Despite a worsening consumer environment, the EBITDA was 13.7% on sales, with a dilution of 190 basis points, and this is better than the guidance of 200-250, thanks to a recovery of profitability in the second half. Flip to page 8, summary balance sheet, again totally in order and healthy. Shareholders' equity is 446 million, and it is higher than the invested capital. Consequently, the group has a strong net cash position of 91 million, in line with last year. I would like to give some more details regarding working capital. Go to page 9, please. Working capital as a percentage on sales was 24.5% compared to 21% of last year, and the increase equals to 39 million. Inventories were up 24 million, out of which around 40 million regards next spring-summer 12 products. This means better receivings compared to last year, and in addition, with no impact on cash, giving the fact that this amount is more than balanced by the increase in suppliers. The remaining 10 million regards the increase in autumn-winter stock on hand at December before the sale period. Sales in January and February this year have been above our expectation, and the remaining part will be absorbed by our outlet network and by selective promotional sales. In any case, the approach has been prudent, and we have also stated a provision against this slight excess of inventories in 2011, so that the marginality this year should not be affected. We experienced also an increase of account receivable for 29 million, and this for two reasons. First, as you know, third party turnover in the second half was up 8%, and consequently also receivables follow this increase. Second, the fall winter season has been a little bit slow at the beginning. You remember the tough September. And consequently, customers requested some extension of the payment terms in order to make cash during the markdown period and then pay the remaining part of our invoices in January and February. So this is a timing issue. Page 10, the cash flow statement. The dynamics in the working capital fully explains the result on cash flow. Working capital was up 39 million, and consequently, operating cash flow was down 39 million. In any case, at a solid 50 million compared with 89 million of last year, very straight. Net capex were 33 million, and in May we distributed 47 million dividend. At the end of the period, the net cash position was solid at 78 million, and in addition we had 12 million of positive fair value valuation of the hedging instruments regarding 2012 season, and consequently the net total financial position is 91 million, in line with last year. Let me now hand over to GEOX CEO Diego Bolzonello for some final remarks.
Good evening to everybody. So we are talking about 2011 results, especially in the second half. We can see that was a turning point for GEOX that we can summarize in three main points. First, the stable level of sales due to an increase in retail channel and a slight reduction on the wholesale channel. The second, the stable sell-out at directly operated stores, despite the bad winter season and the European crisis in consumer spending. And the third point is the rapid recovery in margins without changing the level of our retail price or the positioning. So on the strategic point of view, we can say that we implemented a better execution on the retail level in our GEOX shop, and we have updated the product range, maintaining a strong focus on innovation, but offering more appealing products in order to gain market share, especially in women's segment, which already represents 40% of our sales. At the same time, communication will focus on innovation with a new commercial that has a battle the Red Bull Formula One World Champion as testimonial. But in the same time, there will be also a new advertising movie specifically aimed at women. That will be both of these two commercials go on air very soon this spring-summer. At this point, it's reasonable to imagine that the 2012 result will be achieved as the technical changes that we have made to the running of our the monobrand store come up to speed. Just-in-time reorders should allow us to optimize the sell-through and increase the profitability of the monobrand stores. Even if we have to say that the European countries where we are very strong are experiencing a tough consumption crisis. We got some good signals from the first sales that we have in our shop in the Spring-Summer 12 collection. This year, we will already begin to see an acceleration in the new store openings, especially in Far East, as well in the Eastern Europe, where full expansion will take place in 2013. New offices have been opened in Shanghai to run our direct operators shop in China, and we have also reinforced the Hong Kong and the Moscow offices. So it's going to be a challenging year, but we intend to use it to create a platform for growth in the coming years. Thank you. So now Q&A.
This is the conference call operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Stefano Cornigliani of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. I have actually a number of questions. If you don't mind, I will start from the first one, which relates to a state of the art on your autumn-winter order intake, or if you can be so specific on that, if you could just provide us a sort of, we could say, sensitivity on full year 12. Second question is about your developments in the Far East. You mentioned, if I heard correctly, some tenths of openings just in China. Just understand what will be your roadmap to expand in these new countries. Thirdly, you mentioned also approximately 40 new net openings in Italy. Just to understand to what extent this is a kind of defensive move in order not to lose important places or clients. And lastly, on your receivables, you mentioned a sort of timing issue that postponed the cash-in of your invoices to January and February. Given that we are at the beginning of March, if you could confirm us that trade receivables came back to normal levels to date. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefano. After these four answers, we can close the Q&A session, huh?
Sorry.
Guidance. As you know, we are not in the position to give you a guidance on full year 2012, as the autumn-winter campaign is still in progress. I would like to share anyway some impressions, some comments with the audience. Diego said, we are quite glad by the acceptance of the current Spring-Summer 12 collection in our monobrand. And this rewards the effort we did to update our product range with a more fashionable touch in order to gain market share in the pivotal woman segment, which, to Diego's point, already represent 40% of our sales. As a matter of fact, the new look products are in the highest positions in the weekly bestsellers list. We are talking about a couple of weeks, not more, but and it's clear that this is a little piece of information, but to us, this is the confirmation that the direction is right. This strategic setup will lead inevitably to a selection of the wholesale customers that will be sticking to the past Geox positioning in terms of product range. Therefore, I believe that wholesale channel will not be growing in the near future, especially in the mature market. This will make our focus on to monobrand more and more urgent, and we are committed to push the envelope in this respect. On the other hand, the weakest autumn-winter 11 season, which was one of the weakest in the last years, has left the retail community, not necessarily monobrand Geox store, with a significant burden of leftover inventory that cannot be absorbed by the market today, and even worse by us. For the same reason, I expect that the final figure of autumn-winter 12 order backlog will not be growing versus autumn-winter 11, that, as you probably remember, was up 8%. As far as DOS channel, I'm a bit more optimistic, as from March to December, comp sales are not too challenging, and therefore, in this part of the business, I assume as reasonable a mid to low single-digit growth. 100 net openings, as I said, are confirmed. We will spend a few minutes later on our plan for Far East and China. But within these 100, we will have the first flags, DOS flags in China. I confirm the recovery of the gross margin, which was 200 basis points in Spring-Summer 12, and is going to be around 100-150 in Autumn-Winter 12. This gain is invested or will be invested in 2012 in the G&A area, where during the Q4 2011 we have reorganized the supply chain through the sourcing platform in Asia, put in place a new team in the marketing and product development area at the corporate headquarters, put in place a new team and the new infrastructure in Asia, Hong Kong and Shanghai, with some savings of heads here in Europe. We are in the process of setting up the e-commerce platform, the Geox e-commerce platform, that will be live in the second half of 2012. And of course, to my previous point, we are keeping on with the DOS opening process. So all the above drive me to the conclusion that during 2012, flat sales will correspond to flat EBITDA margin, or every 1% of sales decline will translate in something around 35 to 45 basis point of EBITDA margin dilution. As far as Far East and China, the roadmap is probably a bit prudent, but is five DOS by this year, by 2012, 30 by the next, by 2014, 12, 13, and 14, and 100 in 5 years. This is the plan that we have. In the first and in the second tiers cities. New openings in Italy, are they defensive? To the point I was making earlier, I think it's part of the refocus through monobrand. If we look at the size of an average order, of DOS or monobrand, regardless is a DOS or a franchising, it's about from 7 to 10 times the order of wholesale. So, given the transformation of the market, given the focus or the refocus of the Geox product range, I think. As long as there is the possibility to replace a wholesale presence with monobrand, this is in line with our strategy, and probably the market will grant us some opportunities in this respect.
Is that fair to assume that most of them will come from a sort of conversion of already existing multi-brand stores?
Yes. This is especially in the south part of Italy. I continuously see multi-brand stores that are, customer of ours that are becoming Geox franchising. And this is coming at the same time of having a broader product range. As we have said, we have three genders, all weak lifestyles. So we are coming out from a very specific casual functional buying to a more broad occasion of use of our collection. Therefore, we have the product, we have the system, we have also the infrastructure to supply on a continuously basis a monobrand or a former wholesale. I think this is all for my part. If you have a further question, or I hand over to Livio for the receivable issue.
Just a very last one on your sensitivity. The kind of sensitivity you provided, that is flat sales equal to flat EBITDA margin, does it imply any contraction of the advertising budget or not?
No. Advertising is a pivotal element of our business model. I should say that if we are able to generate more margin, we should invest gross margin, we should invest in advertising. Diego talked about a TV campaign. Our consumer is perfectly in sync with this media. And of course, TV is expensive, given the number of contacts that generates. So, we can't imagine to cut the oxygen mask to our business.
Okay.
Thanks.
Receivable, it's important to give a little bit more details. So Middle East and Eastern Europe usually pay covered by a letter of credit or payment in advance, so no issue on this region. Europe, excluding Italy, paid better than last year, so we are talking about Italy. And let's say this is an Italian behavior. We are Italian. We know very well how to deal with this kind of behavior. And let's say that Italian customers pay when they need goods. And, you know, this year Easter is in advance compared to last year. So from 10 February and so on, we have seen better improvement in cash. And as a matter of fact, now, at this date, the percentage of deliveries compared to last year are higher than last year. So let's say that receivable is not impacting the business. And in addition, I would like to remember that in any case, we have the insurance, so no bad debt risks on this issue.
Thank you, Livio.
The next question is from Paul Swinen of Morningstar. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking our questions. The first question, I guess, is a follow-up on Stefano, some of the discussion with Stefano there about the conversion stores and your future ability to continue those openings. Is there any credit constraint for the entrepreneur that is converting? In other words, they must have a build-out and some fixtures and some costs, both capital and expense, to convert. And is there any scenario where they are, you know, pinched by credit availability?
Yes, I mean the conversion, or let's say the franchising the opening of a franchising store. Just to give you some numbers, requires something around €150,000, €200,000, depends on the size of the store. Being 50,000, the bank guarantee that we ask just as a guarantee of a general course of business, and being the balance, the fixed and furniture we need for the store. The internal policy is to support the customer for the furniture or a portion of the furniture. So it really depends on the size of the customers and how big his network is. So you can imagine 50,000, 30,000 is generally supported by us. Is the availability of credit impacting on this process? The answer is yes, because these guys are normally not big entrepreneurs with fortunes to invest. Very often they are people in the business that are just flipping their brand names from another brand to Geox or multi-brand to us. And that's why I said, support of the company on furniture is something that we introduced in the last few seasons, because this is the trend. This is the trend of the last few years.
So the support is a credit enhancement for the entrepreneur, not an asset investment on the balance sheet, though, correct?
Absolutely, we don't invest in their balance sheet. We just give them a support on a part of their asset,
Okay, excellent. Thank you for that. And then on your comment that the 200 basis point improvement in gross margin for the first half, I assume that's before any impact from the new never out of stock program or faster inventory turns. Over the long run, wouldn't you? I know we've talked about this, but how much more would you expect from just better, you know, turning the inventory faster and having, you know, the right products at the right time in the retail stores? Or is
just
some of that 200 already I'm sorry, is some of the 200 already coming from that?
Yes. I mean, just to wrap up the 200 basis point of spring-summer 12, the 200 positive are coming from 320 negative for input cost inflation. 70 are coming from the withdrawal of the anti-dumping regulation from China and Vietnam. 350 positive are coming from the forex, I mean the revaluation of euro vis-a-vis US dollar, which represent around 70-75% of our purchases, and 10% and 100 basis points are coming from price selective, should say, price list increase. So to your question, nothing in this current spring-summer 12 season is coming from sourcing platform, let's say, just in time or a more accurate production scheduling. For sure, and I don't have a precise figure, of course, for autumn-winter 12 because I don't have the backlog and therefore I don't have the mix, but while the forex component is going down because the improvement is lower than before, I'm starting having few quantities of improvement due to our improved ability of managing the supply chain and the production sources.
Okay, great. Thank you again. I'll let somebody else get a few in.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfau, Bancaletti. Please go ahead.
Good evening to everybody. I would like to know if it's possible for you to remind us what was the average US dollar which, let's say, incorporate this year gross margin. So what level did you hedge substantially for 2012? If you are already hedging for the 2013 season, and at what level? And secondly, if I want to be reassured that I understood properly, so you are expecting 200 higher basis point in spring-summer to 2012 and 100 in autumn-winter, which more or less on average is 150. So this higher margin will be reinvested in G&A, which explain substantially the flat EBITDA for the year, assuming flat sales. That's it for the time being. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Forex is 135 versus 124 in spring summer 12 and 138.5 vis-a-vis 133 in fall winter. As far as spring summer 13, we have not hedged. We are selectively buying some dollars, but the hedge is not completed yet. Just to give you some idea, the price list will be ready by July, maybe even mid June. So we have enough time, and given the especially the last few months, I think not to take a position was a good idea, but who knows. As far as the margin recovery, you are right, 200 basis point of gross margin in spring-summer 12, 100 to 150 in autumn-winter 12. The average, which of course also depends on the balance of the two seasons, the DOS portion of the total sales, so the mix component will be substantially reinvested in G&A, including the DOS expenditure.
And if I may, you were mentioning your sensitivity before. In particular, 1% sales decline. Does it mean that if there are a sales increase for whatsoever reason, you will reinvest this operational leverage in G&A or in advertising, or does it work, or we will see some operational leverage also at the EBITDA level?
No, Just to make sure that I was clear, I said for every 1% of sales decline for the structure of our P&L, we expect 35 to 45 basis points of EBITDA margin dilution. I'm not saying that our expectation is minus 1%.
But
okay, it's just a metric. Yeah. I gave you just the metrics. Or sensitivity, as you like. To your question, if we will generate growth in autumn winter, or an incredible like for like in the DOS, in order to generate an increase in the top line, we will not invest more than the gross margin improvement I mentioned earlier in the G&A, because at flat sales, the additional margin is covering the additional overheads, let's say, or G&A, and the increased gross margin will be probably operating leverage, or, but this is indeed not decided yet, to increase, to my previous point, our A&P pressure.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions from the conference. I'll give you the floor for the final remarks. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. All interesting question. The next conference call for the Q1 2012 results will be taken on May the 9th at 5:30 p.m. If you have any further question, please do not hesitate to call Marina, Livio, or myself. Thank you very much.